Hey guys, Casal here. You're about to watch Thorin talk and talk and talk. But it's kind of good, I swear.
Right, I'm here for another episode of Talk to Thorin, and my guest for this one is going to be Zorti, who is a Russian AWPer, famously played for the team Forza at one point in time a few years ago, people might remember. So the place I actually want to start this little interview, Zorti, is, like a lot of Russian players, you haven't done too many sort of Western interviews or big profile interviews, and I think we'll get into some of that in this interview. But one place I want to start is actually a thing I noticed that is unusual about your career is... nowadays, if we think of people like Donk and Kiyosuke and old Monacy, we're used to now, Russia's like a talent factory that brings teenagers out who were really good and they start dominating the world. I actually noticed you played for quite a few years as just like a random person way before Forza, where I think you were like, what, when you something like 22 or something when you joined Forza? It was kind of a bit late, right?
Yeah, it's because like I was started to play in CS when I was 19, actually, because I lived in the far east of Russia. It's like more far than Siberia. And when I graduated from the school, I moved to Novosibirsk. It's just like a Siberia. I have a 100 ping. I played Dota 2 and accidentally started to play CS because like there is like a local university tournament in CS. And I started to switch my game and started to play CS. I quickly like getting form, and I understand that it is like it's my game. And I had maybe 5,000 hours in game. I had 2 KD on Faceit and 3K Elo in that moment. And I just play local tournaments with Perfecta, with Glowing, and we smash everything and everybody like, and this is my career start. But in that case, that it was really hard to move on because I have a 100 ping. As there is no meta in to pick up new players, because there is no like academies or something, and just you really need to try hard in a local team, goes to Eshel TV, and after you maybe, if you have a good statistic, you will be picked up by a better team. But it's like if you get the luck, actually. Yeah, and I actually spent a lot of time to progress, and only in 21, I been invited in Unique team. It's my first team where I get money from it, right? Actually, yeah, I just leave university and go to like play professional CS. And after 1 year in Unique, I feel like I overgrow this team, and I had a really good statistic on that team. But yeah, I just leave in Unique, but I didn't have like a good invite from team. Just for the game, there are no choice for me. Okay, I just choose Forza, go to Forza, but there was like a lot of problem inside of team. And I was a newbie. I thought that people gonna teach me something or something right. Like that. Yeah, but it's nothing. It's like a new team, new build, fleet, want to go to VP, yep. Some problems. And actually, it's the same story as Unique. I just need to focus on myself. I try to progress individually, but nobody cares about me. It's just like it's individual personalities, and you have to play. You know, like coaches has proper, I don't know, like method or something like that that progress. And I actually 2 years in first 2 years in Forza that would actually. It's not was heartbreaking, but I understand how CS actually works in that moment. Because like nobody cares about you, just you with your minds, with your thoughts. And actually, I felt in that time I was a bit depressed, actually.
Oh, wow.
Because, yeah. And I just, you know, when I joined, when I only joined to Unique, I feel like very motivation. I felt like inspiration that, yeah, I actually achieved that. And I feel like I was promising, actually. But and I have a good statistics. Everything was fine. Everyone is believing in me that I can carry everything. But in Forza, there is like... I felt like people already reached something. They play on them on Blast in Moscow or some...
It was Blast. I don't remember. Yeah. It was the one that was won by like Virtus Pro when the Vanguard joined.
Yeah. And they felt exhausted as well, actually. Right. And I just joined this team, and I think that something will happened that extraordinary, you know, in my career, but it's nothing. It's just like you join the team, but nobody cares. And that moment was really hard until the fleet go to VP and first as a coach came to for the roster. And after 1 year, I actually managed to pull this off, this feeling. And somehow in ESL Pro League and Paris Major, I felt the same inspiration as I was playing Nick. And yeah, something like that.
Does that mean that even when you were in Forza, you still lived in the east of Russia?
No. Actually, when I joined to Unique, they moved to... I actually moved to Kaliningrad. You know, it's like... It's a small part of Russia, yeah. Separated by Russia and Europe.
Yes.
You know, like
it's a part that used to be Germany, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because actually that's one thing maybe actually that will help explain Russian Counter-Strike to Westerners, mate, is they think of Russia and they think like it's a European country. So they don't realize, like basically, as far as I know, esports in Russia is just the West part. It's just like Moscow and that part area in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, exactly.
But as you say, if you live like the East side, I mean, basically, as far as I know, the only person I think who even comes from there is Don Kuzma, right? There's almost no one comes from the very, very East side. So there's no esports there, right?
Yeah, actually me, Don, Perfecta, Glowing, Travis.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
But if you go there, as you say, the problem is you're basically going to have to find a way to move to the West to have an esports career.
Yeah, exactly. But
right.
Actually, in Russia, you know, like, it's a mentality of people is a bit different because in Russia you have, like, if you live in Siberia or some, like, in this area, you have just, like, low salaries. You don't have money. You don't have money, actually.
Yeah.
You can't move. And that's a problem. You need to progress in this area. And maybe if someone will pick up you, then you will get the money and maybe you move. But unless, it's really impossible.
By the way, I'll say this in a polite way. I've heard that the salaries in Forza are very high. But from the number I heard, relative to like living in Russia at the time, it sounds like it was still decent money, though. Is that true?
It depends on what you compare with. Actually, in that moment, when we were like the top, we were like maybe top 15 or something. No, if you speak about me, I don't think that I had a good salary.
Right.
So it's just like, it's a normal, you just have...
Ah, okay.
It's enough for living, but if you compare to what the numbers... right now
it's not like where Vitality make like 30,000 a month or something crazy, right? I see. Okay.
It's actually I could say why not, because the contract is over. When we were like top 15, I had €1,000.
Okay, I thought it was going to be like 4,000 or something.
No.
Oh, 1,000, fucking hell.
It's maybe Jerry.
Right, because he's a veteran, I say. Okay.
Yeah, but not me, actually, because actually Forza have they had a good structure inside. They really passionate by the game, but...
just a small organization, isn't it?
Yeah, there is a small organization.
It's not Virtus Pro or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
I don't think people understand, like, Team Spirit and Virtus Pro are way bigger than some of these other teams, you know?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, actually, I want to ask a few questions about Forza. So one is, when you joined the team, I actually remember when you were playing well early in this team, it was actually an interesting detail that maybe people didn't even know if it was you that was good. Because actually, if people remember the previous Forza, who, as you say, was already like a decent team, they were probably like a top 30, sometimes top 20 team, they could go to land sometimes. Mm-hmm. In their team, they used to have that player, Exapower. He used to be the one who was the AWPer. And bro, whenever I watched Forza's games, I was like, I can't even tell if he's actually that good. Because bro, they used to give him the AWP like every single round CT. Like they permanently put the gun in his hand. On T-side, it even looked like they did that thing where they just tell him where to go and he just holds his angle and takes it. Inside of Forza, did they give you freedom? Did you get to have a say as to how you AWP? Did they put you into a similar sort of a model or a system where you're sort of like Jerry's pawn? What was it like?
It's kind of freedom, but you know, like we're different players, exactly. But I don't need to use the AWP every round. For example, if I have like 7,000, I just drop to a case and to fleet and let's go win the win round. It actually doesn't matter for me, but Xipower was the most like individual, you know. He wants to be like better, the best in the team, and I feel this was his problem actually,
right?
Because he had a bothering with other people and take offense sometimes, and
right.
It's really hard because I wanted to be a good guy actually, and like Zaire, you know, like you just need to play yeah. good, you just need to play just communication good and everything good. It's like he's the best player in my opinion, and there was like a freedom, but sometimes if Jerry calls, you just have to do it, and actually it depends on you what you have to do and what the situation is.
Because the reason I bring that topic up of like how in the team he constantly got the AWP 24/7, it felt like he would even get the AWP if the team didn't even have good money. Because I always thought in that team, the weird thing was, because of the stats and him being the AWP, people were telling everyone, oh, he's the star of the team. But then when I would watch the team, as you say, this is when Flit was in the team, mate. And he was like, if you ever watched his aim, he was unbelievable. He was clearly like, it was obvious to me he was going to go past Forza one day. And I'm actually kind of shocked he's not in the fucking one of the best teams now. Like, I think he could be in Team Spirit or one of these squads, you know. So when you played with Flit, was he already like star quality to you? What was he like as a player?
Flit was very calm, you know, like for example, when we were in boot camp, for example, we just playing, we just finished the practice, he go to his room, just watching some TikToks, you know, just a common guy, nothing special. He's a good guy, actually. He's a good friend inside team. But he had some specific things that he didn't talk much, especially when I play with him. But now I heard that he changed a bit and she tried to more communication with team. And but actually, I didn't feel that he was like a star or something like that. He was like a common guy. He did something. After some games, you saw a crazy statistic, but it's not like a simple, you know, just he do everything. He just like a talk and a kill and I don't know, innates. He's just a lurker, you know. Just we have some protocols on the map. He did it well and he had a good individuals, and that was enough at that point. Actually, yeah, that's it.
I don't know if this is something that like penetrates the language barrier and that Russians know this, but in the West, at this time period, actually, even though I'm talking about Exit Power and Flit, most Westerners actually never really understood who the other players in this team were. The only name they cared about was actually Jerry. In fact, because there's in history not been that many good Russian in-game leaders, a lot of people were always saying, like, why isn't he, remember at the time Russians could join Na'Vi, why doesn't he get to go into Na'Vi? Why doesn't he get to go into whatever, Virtus Pro? Why doesn't he? Basically, everyone always wanted him to leave that team and go to another mm-hmm. squad and leave everyone behind. Is Jerry some sort of special in-game leader? Is he some sort of mastermind? Is Forza his whole project? Is this true?
Unfortunately, for me, not. But like, especially when the Fierce came, all structure, all things what we have, it's all on Fierce. Actually, all. Jerry is
this is the
guy.
Coach, by the way, for people who don't know. The coach and genius, right?
Coach, yeah. Jerry is a good guy, but we have a question for him, and nobody's playing perfect, you know, inside our team. It's just like it's on Shell TV. You see, like Jerry managed to pull this team off and qualify for the major,
yeah.
Like that, but inside our team, it's not like people translated it.
Right.
It's just like everyone. I don't know like how to explain actually. Everyone inside team feels that we have some problems, and for Jerry, I think it's especially when we were playing Paris Major, the most questions were actually for Jerry in that moment.
Ah, right.
Because yeah. And in that case, after the Paris Major, Fierce were a bit like disappointed by Jerry, and we decided to part away. That's this case, but it wasn't like translated like Jerry. It just was like Jerry leaves the team or something like that. But actually, that was the bench.
Ah, oh, I see. Right. Okay. Right.
Yeah. It just was a bench. But we were like a good friends. We just actually really tired of each other, you know, sometimes. It's maybe not a Jerry problem, but actually the last year in Forza, that was hard. Actually hard, Jerry tired, me tired, and everyone feels that we need some changes, but organization just not able to do that because they don't have money, you know. Simple as that. And even if we go top like 10, they simply just not able to increase the salaries, you know. Just some condition inside the organization, right. It's they're not able to do that. And everything just, I don't know. After the major, I understand that I need to move forward because I spend a lot of time with this team and nothing changes. And in this case, we actually part away with, and that's it.
The other player in Forza I wanted to ask about is Shalfi, because to me, when I watched this era after Flit had gone and it was you and him instead of Exopower and Flit, I always thought like you were the star AWPer and then Shalfi was the star rifle. Like actually, he's another player I'm really shocked has never been in either one of the best teams or even maybe even gone international. What can you tell me about this player?
Actually, when we... Zephyrus brings Shalfi inside the team. Actually, that was like Flit is gone. Fierce come to TeamSpeak and just said, now we're playing with Shalfi. That's it. And we started to play Shalfi, and the first glance, he was like a weak in individuals. He had a bad shooting, and he was not sharp, you know. Like, we trolled them that you need to play some DM or something like that, aim, but do something because he literally not able to kill in back, you know. Like,
right.
In some cases. CS, it's like a, it's simple, but simple. It's sometimes is you're not able to pull this off. That simple things inside the game because you need to communicate well, shooting and everything stuff that people mind that it's easy, but for professionals sometimes it's not.
Yes.
And Shalfi, maybe first year he tried to be like BlameF, you know.
Right.
I mean. He pulled the blanket on himself and tried to do all his work. But after he understands that maybe he don't have enough talent or something like that to progress, and he just step away from this. And we started to play as a team. Maybe Fierce and another players believe in me. I don't know, like, especially I really felt it at some point because just... people inside teams that started to speak that phrases like, come on, you have to do it, or something like that, just like motivation and stuff. I really was shocked at that point, and people just need me. Okay, I started to grind, and that was how we're doing, actually. And it really was a good time, especially when we started to play as a team, because we had a lot of discussion when the Shalfi play like that in the first year, because a lot, especially me, I didn't like it. So I was on a part that we have to play like a team together. Nobody was like whispering behind the backs and something like that. Just we need a team. Yet, after that, actually, that was a good time. Shalfi is a good player, especially right now. He's a captain. He would like to switch the roles, and I think he's really good. I think that a lot of people don't understand that CS, it's really simple game right now, especially. If you, for example, see how the new roster built, and you see the sneak names, and you don't understand how far this thing right. possible to go. In the first glance, it's weak. But CS works like really, it's really random right now, especially in CS2, because this game, it's really easy. If you just shoot, if you have a good talent inside your team, like a Donk or something, yeah. just like very talented player.
It's a lot about firepower, easier. Right?
Yeah, it's firepower. It's much right. easier to play. And I don't understand like why people didn't pick up Shalfi or Dilly Death at some point. Now he pick up by a bit boom, but... unless but boom, he didn't get some invitational to European teams. People think that you have to do something extraordinary inside the team. But if you have a good experience, for example, like me, I don't know, like, why, I think people just underrated me for some reason, or even don't even notice me for some reason. But for my perspective, if I had a good team with good communication, I actually managed to, I don't know, I it's possible to play really, really good for me. I'm not as, I understand that I'm not Donk, I'm not Zyva, I'm not Monacy, but I have enough talent to play like in top 10.
Right.
Exactly. I'm really sure. But people just even didn't notice it. You're trying to, I don't know, like pick up some crazy teams like Falcons or something like that, but actually it doesn't work because you can pay players, but you can pay the results.
Yes.
It actually, yes. It's really hard. And in CS2, I'm pretty sure that you need to have a good chemistry inside your team because it's really impossible to play. Like the last year in Bad Boom, for example, just like, it's really hard. It's really hard to play. And the last year was really depressed for me as well. Because we didn't stuckle, you know, we just didn't communicate properly with each other, and that's it. In the first glance, it's a good team. It's a good team, like maybe top 15 at least. But what we can see, like, it's not even close. Actually, it's how game works. Actually, I don't understand why people just don't notice Shalfi or Fierce. Why Fierce just? He's not.
Nobody even knows him in the West, mate. No one's ever heard of him.
Yeah, but I promise, he's really good.
Right.
He's really good. It's the best coach we ever had. Coach. And he's Hali's friends. And I know that they communicate with each other. I'm not sure right now or not, but in the past, for sure. And he's really good. But nobody cares. Why?
In Forza, though, I do think, like, at least I noticed when I watched, I thought you were very good. And this is actually at the time when there wasn't even that many Russian AWPers. Like, there was obviously, like, Monacy was really young and he was already in G2, so I don't count him.
Yeah.
There was Jim. There was Shiro. That's about it, though. After that, there's not many people actually with the AWP that are any good, mate. Like, a lot of the other names are kind of a bit average. So at this time, do you think this was your peak? Was this when you were at your best?
Actually, I don't think so. It's like,
oh, okay.
I always think that I didn't get a pick at all. Like, maybe when we were playing in Forza last major and the ESL Pro League, in that moment I felt that I can pull this. It's possible to me to break this wall. You know, if I just join to the team, for example, like Molodoy, join to Furia, and someone who really believe in him and gave this knowledge how to play, how to like to use something, like just to show this way, you know, like how to progress. But I didn't manage to do that because I didn't get a good invitation, or just like EG, but it was like you have to build from zero, you know, it's not what I want in that moment. I expected that join a builded team, you know,
yeah,
like who already played and some experience, and they gonna teach me. But unlucky, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And every time I just have to build from zero to hero, every time. And
right.
Actually, in this point, I was really exhausted, and I actually tried. And for now, I really feel that. Only now I feel that I really want to play and I really enjoy this game, you know. It's because when you're playing the season and something happening inside your team, you feel like depressed, you know. You don't understand what you actually want, how do you manage to pull this off, and all this stuff. Because it's really hard. We have another mentality in CIS. We all a bit angry on each other. It's more competition inside our team.
Oh wow! Nice.
Then against enemy team, nice, on the server, you know. And in this case, it's really hard. It may be my mentality. In this case, it's not good. You know, I'm not a stone. I need good guys who really believe in me. Because if someone it's expecting me to, I don't know, it's if someone expected me to play bad and every time speaks it, I will play bad. I don't know. It's just my mentality, right. You know. But if I feel that I really need, I play well.
Okay.
It's that simple. And I understand that. I try to fix that, but it's really hard. You know, it's just your personalities. It just came from the school, from young, and it's really hard to pull this. Because you, I don't know, like, I just didn't have enough competition. Unless CS, and I didn't prepare for that. And the first time when you need to manage to solve this problem inside your head, and when people everyone talks that you're bad, and actually it's hard to me to progress. You know, I don't know why, but now I will be like much stronger in this case. And even someone just talk shit to me, okay, guy, like, we'll see what's happening next. Maybe you're right, maybe you're not, but we're playing like shit as a team, but it doesn't matter who plays better or well, you know, like, if the team doesn't show some results, it doesn't matter how played, actually. And in this case, yes, but if he speaks about my, like, did I reach my peak? I think not. Because in CS2 especially, it's a different game for me. At the first glance, it was a really shit game because, like, when we were playing on Sydney, it's better. It's impossible to kill. Like, it's always lagging. Even now, it's not perfect. It's not perfect at all. But for now, when I did some break, and I understand that I really love this game and I want to play.
When, if we go back in FOS, the other thing is the time that you joined was right at the end of the whole COVID period where everything's just online and people will know now. The joke is even simple. I had to discover this recently with BC Game. It's really hard to just be in the tier 2 online circuit where you play every day, sometimes official games, and you never go to LANs. And you get one LAN and it's a small one. And then if you do badly there, it's just back online. It's a grind, yeah. Right? So in this era, I imagine it must have been, and also since you said you didn't get paid much, to qualify to that Antwerp Major, must be a big deal, right? You get sticker money, you're at like a real major tournament. Like, as you say, you get to the odd tournament, like the odd LAN, but that's where you're going to come last and no one's going to know it. So was it a big deal to qualify to Antwerp?
Yeah, that was a big deal for me, especially I break this wall in my head, but that was really nervous for me. And that was the first big tournament for me. I was cheated, you know, like I didn't play well as well. I didn't manage to pull my thoughts and things, but I really tried to help my team. But after this tournament, I understand that it's like, it's nothing, you know, it's just a major. It's nothing special, you know, because who cares about you qualify for the major? You have to fight for trophies. It's just a major. It's just like, okay, you get some money. Okay, it's good. You just prolong your longevity without organization, you know, but nothing special. Yeah, that really gave me some experience because when you didn't play some tournaments, you know, it's much easier if you already see Zaivu in real life, at least once, because right. You just watch him on the internet, but when you face him on LAN, it's just a bit like, not scared, but you understand that they're like a grunts, you know,
yeah.
Like a top team. And it's really hard because you understand that you just came for this event and how I managed to win them if I didn't much experience, you know. It's really hard to break this in your head. And I think you, at least one, you need to qualify for these tournaments. And doesn't matter how you show yourself. It's just experience. And in that moment, I didn't was really upset how I played. Actually, it was a really good time. I was just like discussing myself, just understand that nothing bad, actually. It was a really good experience. It's okay. I just need to go further and just think how I managed to do that in my head, just fight this pressure and understand that I'm a good player and it's all right.
to me as well, like, as you say, if it's your first major and you actually literally had to play, like, Vitality with Zewu, Outsiders with Jim, even the Imperial game, that was actually a really good game for Fallen. Like, these are all, like, legendary, massive figures, you know. If someone's a rookie, I actually say this about Molodoy and Furia right now, I don't really blame them that much if they have a hard time at the major. You expect that that's when the pressure will come, and, you know, you learn over time, and that's an area you also improve as well as in the game. But for me, if you go the next year, the one you talked about, the Paris major, this is the one where it was like the big deal for Force for me. Like, do I actually, this was way more harder to qualify to. Like, actually on paper, people would have said you wouldn't have made it through this qualifier. And what people will forget is that the actual major itself, you guys absolutely could have made the playoffs. Like, this was real. Like, you could have gotten through the Swiss, it looks like. So can you give me some thoughts on this run? Was this the best Forza?
I just remember how we qualified to RMR, and that was really hard because we were in Malta. I didn't remember. I just, like, our manager told us that we need to play some LAN in Malta, and Wiz is like, it was the same days that Close qualified to the RMR or something like that.
Right.
And we just wake up early morning on this LAN, played this LAN. After we lost, like, maybe we didn't even win a single game or something like that, maybe one, in 10 p.m. we have to play a close qualifier. So we wake up in 7 a.m. and 10 p.m. we have to play. And we started from 0-2. We lost to Havu, or not Havu, maybe like some Finnish team, I don't remember, like Alu, Jan or something like that, I didn't remember. And it was the second game, and somehow, I don't know, it was really a miracle. We just woke up in the next day, and somehow we managed to play. We didn't discuss, we didn't like take some offense to each other. It was really good, it was really hard, and I just remember I didn't really expect that we managed to qualifier, because it was really hard, it was exhausting, was tired, but somehow we did it. And on the RMR, I don't know, like, it was like a second breeze, you know, like second breeze. I just like take some gap and just started to play, and it was really good, especially when we facing on Aurora on 2-2. I understand that I really good. I didn't nervous when I play against CIS teams. I just feel confident because I understand the side better. I don't know how this works, because maybe I know them like individuals, like personalities, and just came to the server and just destroyed them. And that's easy, and it's how the confidence started to progress. And I think that was a break point, you know, the break point moment on Malta, because we started from 0-2 and we managed to, that was really bad. It's really bad, and everyone understands that it's like, if you didn't do that, you just disbanded, that's it.
Right.
But that was really hard, and I'm glad that we managed to solve this problem as a team and qualify for the major, and that result is deserved, actually. It's deserved. We did a lot of work, and we never gave up, and yeah, that's actually cool. And on the Paris major, that was a good result, but we face Game Religion on 2-2 for
Let me just explain to the fans, right? The only bad result was you lost to BO1 to Greyhound or whatever it was, that like fucking, the Australian team,
Greyhound,
right?
Greyhound, yeah.
But
on the Mirage.
The next four teams in a row you got all ended up in the playoffs of this tournament. So you beat Team Liquid in a BO1, you beat Monty in a BO1, then you lost to FaZe Clan, who, by the way, was like actually a really good fucking team still. Obviously, this is when they'd won the Grand Slam. And then the last team was Game Legion, who went all the way to the Grand Finals. Like, it's actually quite, at the time, it didn't look so crazy on paper, but those are actually hard teams at this tournament. These are all playoff teams.
Yeah, but when we lose to Game Religion, we was really upset, but that was lucky then they go to Grand Final, actually. It's not looking like bad, you know, like you
exactly.
Just lose to Grand Finals, but I don't think that we didn't. I just like in that game, I felt that some people inside our team that they were missed, you know. They just don't feel confident that you have to do that. And that break point, just like they had to break this wall for them. But I understand inside of the server, when especially when we play Inferno, I just a bit take offense to my teammates. I just remember it because like I told something like, what the fuck are we doing here, actually? To start to play and stuff like that. And in that moment, I really remember. And after this round, I understand that it was really hard to win, you know, because people just demotivated or something like that. They understand that it was really hard. And especially on Inferno, I remember when we switched from T to City, I managed to kill 4 people on Inferno on short or something like that. That was the crazy headshots. And after this round, okay, maybe we managed. But after some rounds, I understand that it was really hard. We didn't prepare as much. If maybe we continue to play this roster, and maybe the next major, if we had to solve everything inside of a team, maybe we need to take one change, right. You know, like maybe to pick up some new players to like everyone feel a new inspiration and maybe something. Yes, but I think that was over for Forza. It's like actually dead end, you know.
By the way, this time period, actually, I think a lot of people will have forgotten this detail, but there was actually a situation where, because at some of these majors you had some like good performances, and this is when like people know probably that Forza doesn't have a lot of money and it's not a big mm-hmm. team in that sense, right? There was a rumor that I remember was posted online, and I looked into this. I'm a journalist, and I found it was true, which basically, even though it sounds mental, Zorty, like on paper, this sounds like a fake one from a telegram, because the story was, everyone remembers Evil Geniuses at the time is a big esports organization who's worth millions and millions of dollars, but their team, that American team, was fucking shit. Like if everyone remembers, they just lost like a million games on land. So at the time, the rumor was they were going to make like a big gamble, and they were going to make an international team where the only like North American player would have been like Elise or something. So he would have joined the fucking team from Complexity. And then the rest of the team, this is why it sounds bizarre, bro, was going to be like Electronic, you, like Jax from France or something. Like, by the way, it already sounds like a mental team. I don't really know how it would work, but this is true. They were trying to make this team.
Yeah, that was true, actually. So that was close, actually, to sign the contract. But in the last, that was actually the project just like canceled, you know. But actually, the truth, me, Electronic, Elijah, Jax, and the last one, I didn't remember, maybe Breezy or something like that. Breezy. Yeah, I think Breezy. And it depends on how we started to new season. Maybe we did some changes, something like that. But yeah, it's the truth, actually. It was kind of saying that it was the most good invitational, you know, like for me, actually.
Yeah.
Because despite on how I played on Major and ESL Pro League before, I didn't get a good invitational, you know. Just you just get invite from EG. Hello, bro, but you're a good player. Okay, we want to like to sign you, but we need to build again from zero, you know. Okay, but I have no choice, actually. I agreed because that's why life is back, you know.
Right, you can tell me what you want to say about this, but I heard the reason this project, look, they obviously didn't go ahead with the project anyway, but I heard one of the reasons why you didn't get to join this project, it might even have been why at the last minute they cancelled it, was like, look, at the time, like I said about the American team being bad, the concept people had of Evil Geniuses and organizations, they weren't doing a very good job, like the top people in the organization. And the story I heard basically went, when they were putting this squad together, they never bothered to investigate. Remember, this is 2023. They never bothered to think like, well, wait a minute, Russians aren't like fucking from Paris, mate. Like they can't just come to country. You need visas. You need fucking situation. This is an American team, even. Like essentially, they just didn't understand what you call the logistics, like the actual like official things you have to do. And so they didn't understand in your case that it wouldn't just be as easy as getting someone from Germany or something, right?
Yeah, actually, they didn't ask about it at all. So right. They didn't ask about my visa or something. Just like straight go to sign the contract, you know. Like, but in Russia, it's really hard, especially with the American visa, because I have a visa. I have a visa right now, but I managed to go to Indonesia, to Jakarta. I actually spent 2 weeks, you know.
Right.
For a 3-year visa, I spent 2 weeks, and it's a lot of money actually. But. Bless God that the organization paid everything, you know, like it's, but boom is paid everything, but it's really hard, you know, and even in EU visa right now, it's really hard to get because for me, it's easy right now because I have a Serbian living
resident permit or something
permission,
right.
And I It's easy for me because if you have an invitational from some tournament, I can just take it easy. But if you live in Russia, it's really hard right now because there's some sanctions. It's all coming, you know, like it's really hard because it all changes. And you need the money, you know, to do that, actually.
Yes. No, put it this way, as a quick aside, it's actually why when I saw everyone last year being like, why would anyone sign Dexter? He can't even get visas. I was like, mate, you haven't looked into that. That's just Russians in general, mate. Like, it's not specifically Dexter. It's just, that's just Russians, isn't it?
Especially, you know, like when you have a EU manager, he's just no clue what's happening inside of Russia. It's simple as that. Yeah. And I heard from Flamus, he sent me that Gamer Legion didn't help him with visas.
Oh, right. Because that's why he missed one event. He missed like the Katowice playoffs or something.
Because they don't understand what they actually have to do. Right. You know, how is it managed to do that?
Right.
It's really hard to. It's really hard for your team, but actually, it's just case to case, you know.
Yeah. By the way, I have an obvious follow-up question to this story about EG. If you're someone who's been grinding for years in the Russian scene on high ping with no money, you're in teams where it's hard to know if you can ever get... If you get an invitation like that, that sounds like the dream. That sounds like, oh my God, I'm going to get everything I wanted and they're even sending you the contract. That must be a fucking... That must bomb you out if that just gets taken away.
Yeah, that was really crazy because in that moment, we moved to Serbia. Actually, I just moved and trying to find a location, trying to find the apartments, you know. And that for me, the prices at that point it was really hard. No, I don't know, like, because like I have a salary maybe at that point, maybe about 1,200 euro or something.
Okay,
like that.
Right.
Maybe a bit more, I didn't remember actually. But if you want really a good apartments, you have to pay maybe more than half of your salary.
Sure.
You know? And it was really hard. And when I saw the numbers from EG, what the salary I would have. And that was really crazy for me. Is 10x, you know?
Yeah, 10x, of course.
Like, it's really crazy salary for me. I was really shocked. Wow. It's really people managed to do that. And the crazy thing for me, that was a started salary, you know?
Yeah,
started.
Absolutely.
That was crazy.
Mate, I'll bet electronic salary was like 3 times that or something. Yeah, of course, yeah.
It's maybe 30K, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe 30K thousand or something.
Yeah, of course.
It's crazy thing.
By the way, this is just one last question about Forza. Because some of the players that were in Forza were just there for years and years and years, even if they were considered talented or there was other Russian teams could have used them, right? You can say, again, I'll make this very open-ended. I don't know how much you like Forza or if you can just say the truth. I don't know. You decide, right? Another thing I know about as a Westerner that maybe Westerners don't know, they think that every team in CS is like in sports like football and basketball, where it's like if you're the star player, you're just like, hey, I want to leave, transfer me to this team, or you just wait till the end of the contract. They're like, see ya, I'm off for free, nothing, I go join this team. I've heard it's very different in like British. I've even heard the same thing about Asian teams. I've heard that if you're in some of these teams, maybe the team thinks of it more as like we own you in a way, like we found you and we own, and it's not as easy to get out. And even if you're in a team that, as you're saying, is not, it might only be 15th or 20th in the world, sometimes they're asking for like the kind of buyout that should be for like fucking NIP or something like that, you know, like a really crazy buyout where no one's going to pay like $400,000 or something. But they do that so you can't leave the team, you're sort of stuck. Was there any of this in Forza, do you think?
Actually, yeah, the same problem, because Forza understands that if we just leave the team, it's really hard to them, like, to manage on to reach the same level. Because there is no people who want to join Forza because, like, salaries, condition, and all this stuff. And they understand that they just need to start it from zero.
Yep.
And in this case, of course, they want to, like... To take some money from me and from other players. Yeah, it's the same story, actually. It's like people trying to get money, and actually it's fine, but when you just translated it to your career, it's bad, actually. You just it's not really like a case that some manage to buy you, because it's like it's really high numbers, really high numbers. And bless God that somehow Red Bull managed to buy it, and that wasn't like a craziest number,
right.
But there was a lot, actually. If I think that if it wouldn't be like a bookmaker or something, that the normal team with like normal sponsors didn't get me.
Yeah,
it's no way, actually, no way. That was it's a good number.
When people will forget, because at this point in time, BetBoom, because they actually do have money, they have cycled through a lot of big-name players, actually. A lot of the different players throughout the Russian scene have come through. But I remember the first, like, core lineup that you were in. On paper, this even looked pretty good, mate, because you had, like, Nafani, who obviously was coming from Cloud9. You had Chiron, who at one point in time was supposed to be, like, the fucking answer to Virtus Pro, even though he was barely there for, like, 5 minutes. Siren was obviously in, like, Spirit, where they were, like... doing like runs at majors and stuff. Like, you were there. Like, this squad on paper looked pretty good. Was it a good team?
At first glance, yes, but we were started actually good. We qualified for the Sydney. But after, we just facing the same problem as my previous team. So we need a structure. We need a coach who just will communicate with organization and just we just need the people or maybe one guy who really understand how to progress as a team, you know, what we have to do, when we need to did some changes, you know, inside of a team, or just simple as that. We just need a guy who helped me and Nafani like with some strategies, you know, in all this case. But we respected it because it was like first roster for BetBoom, and I understand that will be really hard. It doesn't matter how we started, and always like depends on how we will progress and how it will be end. And it's what I fear the most. It's like it's appeared in some time. So we started to find a coach, but it's what really hard. We tried to call Innershine. Innershine came as analytics, just do some stuff. But for me, that wasn't like a decision, you know, because in my point of view, we just the only structure that really works. It's the structure the same as the Spirit, you know. When you have a coach who really decides everything is the number one. It's just here rule, he decide. But Innershine that. He
never was a coach before, right? He was just the analyst for FaZe or whatever it was, right?
Yeah, it's really hard. Right. And maybe like his personalities, he didn't fit properly, you know. After we just tried to pick up a railway, but that at first glance, it was better than Innershine. We maybe some progress and European. And he was a player, you know, before. He understands something and all these cases, but anyway, like in my opinion, that for organization, that there is no like structure, you know, it's hard to predict how this roster will how it's gonna play, because like the problem we faced. That actually we managed to fix this problem in Forza when I only joined the team, you know. That was really like baby problems. But we didn't manage to do even this.
Right.
And as I see it like now, it doesn't matter how many people you change in roster. It's all about structure. You know, like I have been watched an interview with Cheshire from Spirit. You know, like the CEO of Spirit. And he actually said one phrase, and I actually agree with him. It's like, if you have a good roster, if the roster will not play, if the communication between roster and organization is not connected as much as like to control over this team and just CEO and everybody understand how it will be works and how it will be progress. Because if this link is not correct, it doesn't work. And I felt that we have the same problem, and it really shows how the team maybe even the team have a good players, they just don't progress as much, you know, in some cases. But it's only my opinion, you know. Maybe I fall, but I just I was in this project from the start, and I understand everything because, like, I have some experience in this case,
sure.
And I don't know. It's just my personal opinion, but we just I don't know. Like, I didn't manage to pull this off. I just, you know, when I joined to Bad Boom, I didn't feel that I need to play individually good. But I need to learn people how to play, you know, like. But personally, but actually, I didn't have much experience, you know. I need to someone who teach me how to
right.
play. I don't need to, like, teach Kyron or Denise or Siren how to play, like,
yes.
you know. After Sydney, we lost to Complexity in playoff. That was really was my first stage, and we lost them. And I remember how some people inside my team just crying because we lose, you know.
Wow, right.
But for me, it was like good result. Why are we crying, guys?
Yeah.
We did a good work, actually, but, you know, like, and in those time, I feel like I'm like a psychologist, you know. I try to, I don't know, like, calm people down or just like trying to solve their problem. And I just forgot how to play, you know. I just
right.
switched my focus from trying to be like best in the team, trying to switch focus to this. And we talk with Nafani every day that we need a structure, we need a coach, we need like proper protocols, you know, and all this stuff. And we didn't, and plus we have bad results because like it was a routine, you know, you play online, there's someone like team from top 70 just shit on you.
Sure.
Like it's really hard, you know, like, it's all this problem, and yeah, it's it's hard.
In this team, another name that I think has an interesting reputation in the West is Nafani. Because even though, if you actually look at his results with Cloud9 and Gambit, look, online, they were the best team. Then on LAN, they were like in semis of majors, and they were like actually like they could, in theory, win tournaments. Like they actually, you know, there's a lot of talent in the team. But believe it or not, in the West, at least, people actually flamed Nafani. I think he even famously got flamed on Twitter, and like even Simple was like trying to side mm-hmm. with him and stuff. Right? Basically, in the West, people think he was one of the problems in Cloud9, or like he's overrated as an in-game leader. You've worked with him. What is your perspective on him as a captain, as an in-game leader?
There are actually two type of game leaders for myself, especially Nafani. It's similar to Jerry, you know. It's not a fully structured captain. He sometimes he want to call from his perspective and actually what from his feels, you know, sometimes. If he want to go through smoke, he just call. I
right.
go through smoke. It's just like there is no like really structure. He just want to rely on his feeling inside the game. Yes, but the second type of is like a structure captain who just playing on rely on protocols. What they like communicate with a coach. What we did prepared and something like that. At Nafani, it's not this case. His best, maybe habit or something like that. I don't know how to describe it. He really hungry to play. You know, when he playing, he's really another person. He's
okay.
he's really angry. You know, he need to like to scream. He really takes some offense with teammates and all this stuff. And but actually, it's hard to say that. The result was in Cloud9 that it fully rely on Nafani, you know. And there was like Exile, really talented guys, Shiro, Hobbit, that crazy guys, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
When you have these guys inside your team, even you're a captain. Captain is really overrated role as
right.
For me, actually. Because at first point, people think, oh, Spirit playing against Vitality and the Chopper didn't do some crazy stuff, you know, but what he actually have to do right now, what, especially if you know, just join the server, just lose some clutches or something like that, you playing like Captain didn't do as much as people think, you know. It's just like he calls by protocols what we communicate with our coach, and that's it. Sometimes, yeah, he managed to just make some call by his feelings, but that's it. Maybe one or two times for a game, and I don't know. In this case, what I heard actually from Nafani in Cloud9, there is more like discussion between him and Hobbit. There was like some offense, you know, between, and maybe the same story as that what we have in Ford, you know.
Right.
They just played with each other too many, just like right. a long time, and they tied from each other. Right. That's it. There is no like wrong guy inside. They already reached what they reached with this roster. That's it. It's just like the way is over. You have to do something new, and that's it. But people in social media, like, all every time trying to find some guy who actually lose this roster, you know, and
yes, who to blame all. The problem? As yeah, they say, the problem.
It's a problem. But actually, when you inside the team, it's
right.
It's not that easy how people just thinking. You know, that's it.
Because along those lines, later you had Bumic as your in-game leader. Now, Bumic, that Na'Vi team he was in, is probably one of the best teams ever. Like, they were unbeatable almost, you know. They went smashing everyone. But the reputation he has is quite different. People actually think he's more of, like what you said, about like a loose style caller. Obviously, he himself's got a crazy playing style for an in-game leader. What was Bumic like to work with?
Bumic actually a nice guy, first of all. But, like, he had some problem as every pair... Like every player has actually the simple like with the communication. Maybe sometimes he just take really heartbreaking things to his point. You know,
right.
Maybe when I talk something to him,
oh, he takes it personally if you criticize him.
Personally, yeah.
Right.
But he had a good experience with Blade. He every time trying to reproduce this. Calls or system what they had in Na'Vi, but in my opinion it doesn't work right now because there are different
right.
players. You need a coach, especially who had a full control of over yourself, because like Bumic a good captain, it's 100%, but in Na'Vi when you have electronic simple, like it's Bumic a good player, but it's he wasn't like he didn't play a major role,
right,
you know? It's just a good player in a good structure. That's it. But, you know, like, I know a lot of players. It's not a Bumic. But from another teams, they even, I don't know, like, won Tier 1 tournaments. But when you speak to him about the game, he don't understand that. It's just
very
like,
basic.
He clueless
right.
about the game. In that point, you're just like, how you win something, you know?
Right.
And this is how a game works, actually. If you play it in some team and you won, it doesn't matter that you will join another team and started to reproduce the same structure in this
right.
team, and it will work. Because maybe you just misunderstand something when you're trying to progress in your past,
sure.
in your previous team. Yes, and we try to, like... I think the result what we have in Bad Boom in this roster, it's not on Boomage, you know.
Right.
It's just on the structure. And I think that he just, at some point when we lose some online tournaments and we didn't get some invitational to the LANs, it just brings all the routine stuff. We're just trying to stagnation, you know. And it's really hurts him because... He used to play LANs.
Yeah,
know?
Of course.
Used to
has higher expectations,
games.
Right?
Yeah, higher expectations, yes.
Yeah.
But we just qualified for the Blast, but we
yeah.
didn't have a visa.
Sure.
So unlucky. But like after that, we didn't manage to do something because when we were group up on our first boot camp, that was really awful, in my opinion.
All right.
Because after this boot camp, we we lose everything.
All right. Okay.
Everything, you know. I can't tell you everything, but that was awful, especially from my point of view.
Okay.
I'm not telling about like another team, another people inside the team, but from my perspective, that was. It was not good. It was not a healthy, you know. It wasn't a healthy boot camp.
Okay.
Maybe it sounds a bit rude from rude to my teammates or coach, but actually that was how it's what I feel. And I in that moment I play really bad, actually below zero. Like it's what really the hardest time I ever seen. And after that, I just trying to. Solve this somehow, or trying to get some medicine, you know, pills to, like, it's not anti-depression stuff, but it's like to calm down my thoughts, you know.
Right.
And I actually managed to do that. I started to play 1.2 before the major, and I really have a good statistic and pretty good results. But and I actually managed to end it from 0.09 rating to 1.9 rating, unless we were playing not bad on the major, but that it was not a healthy team. You know, we already understand that some changes will be, and I understand that. It's really hard time for me. I have to decide. For example, if they not to bench me, I probably do myself to bench. You know,
right? You needed a break.
Yeah, I need to break because it's really hard. And another season in that atmosphere, I can't. You know, and yeah, but 1.2 rating, 1.1 rating in this meta of
Skype, it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it actually, but the bench me, it's okay, because I understand why I had some problem during the season, but I don't think that a major thing, you know. That's it. And about Boomage, maybe after some episodes during our work with each other, he understand maybe I'm not the right guy who he wants to meet, you know, like see inside the team. Maybe not. I didn't actually communicate with them about it, and I didn't ask. It's maybe I could ask him just like why I've been kicked, you know, like it's a normal question, but I didn't actually ask because I have my point of view on this, all this stuff. And but yeah, Bobic, a good captain. I have a really good experience from him, you know, like maybe the best captain I ever played, you know, in all cases. He really enjoys the game. He's working hard. He's a really good guy in outside and inside the game. Yeah, he had some problem with the mental, it's all this stuff, but it's a normal, you know.
Sure.
He's a good.
What about the player that I am always confused about in this particular squad is, you mentioned him earlier from Cloud9. It's when Axile joined the team, right? There's a term in English, it's called like overqualified. Like the joke would be, I've been in esports like 24 years, I've done majors. Imagine if I just went to like a small website and I applied to be like trial news poster. It'd be insane. Uh-huh. Like I'm overqualified. Like I should be like, I'm too good for that job. That's what people thought when Axile joined this team. But if people go and look at the results, he kind of has been much worse, it looks like, than he was in Cloud9. And the reason that's so bizarre to me, Zorty, is, first of all, CS2 really does look like it's about aggressive AK players just shooting everyone in the head. And this guy, when he was at his peak in Cloud9, there's a reason he was like, I think he was like fifth or something in HLTV for like the year or something. He was unbelievable. He used to have like he was like some Keisuke. He wasn't quite Donk, but he was a really fucking strong player. Yeah. Did something happen to him? What would you say about Axile?
Actually, when he only joined the team, I feel like he's really calm guy, you know. He don't speak much. He's like, only speaks info, that's it. I felt that moment that he was really inspiration, because he wants to play, he wants to play online, he wants to play like a LAN, and after some heartbreaking points in Cloud9, for him especially, it's what he talked to, like, between each other. Yeah, that was really good. The first season, the first like maybe 1 or 2 or 3 months in Bad Boom, he played really well. He really well, because like it, a lot of people think that CS2 just hits him, you know, like, and it's a main problem. But in my opinion, it's not the main problem. Of course, it's gave some, you know, like, you know, it gave some problem to him, because it's different game, it's different type of game for sure. It's like a different individuals you need to practice, because it's all about strays, it's all about maybe some random stuff in all this case. But in case of Axile, it's not the main problem. In main problem, it's Bad Boom, especially. I think after he played really good 3 months, just think, he played 3 months, 1.2 rating. Big group up on bootcamp. After bootcamp, he plays 0.9.
Right.
How? You know, right. Like 10 days. 10 days, is it possible? And after that, people are like, oh, exiled, he's just like, he's washed or something like that. Yeah. It's not his point, you know, like, it's not his fault. It's all things, all structure inside the team works like he not able to do something. Because he's very calm guy. Sometimes he overreact when people speaks about his performance, you know, especially inside the team.
Right.
Because he didn't used to hear the critics in his way, especially in Cloud9. Before Electronic, because when Electronic comes, it's like a critics as well.
Yes,
you know?
That's also the reputation.
reputation. You know? Like, yeah, and after this bootcamp, maybe people inside our team just not believing in Exile. You know, maybe we changed some roles because he didn't play fully star roles, and yeah, he just maybe feels the same as me. You know, because he didn't feel that he needs as much a team as he expected. And Magnus Reis took all roles because, like, the coach vision, you know, something like that. And we, every bad game, we just communicate and, like, it's not a fully aggression, you know, to Exile or to me or to someone, but... it's like a silent aggression, you know? Silent.
Right.
It's like, you're not a bot, but Exile. Just like, you just, you know, like, you're not that Exile in the CSGO, you know? CSGO, it was a different game. Now in the CS2,
right.
Exile, who are you? Like, and right. All this stuff, you know? And I kind of feel it, yeah. And after I really, like, have a talk with Sergey, and pretty much he has the same feeling, you know.
Right.
And it's all about structure. It's really good example how even the most talented player, not the most, but he like a top maybe 20, the most talented player
yeah.
of all time in CS, it's for sure. It's even this guy, if you don't have a good mentality and a good ego, people can manage to pull
right.
this off, you know. Just destroyed it.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a good example, and it's how you need to manage your players properly, you know. Because even if you have like all stars, it's not the result you will be expecting.
Yes.
You know, it's really hard. Yeah.
By the way, in CS:GO, I'm sure as an AWPer, you heard this your whole career. Because the AWP was really powerful and all the top players on HLTV was like device, simple. See, mm-hmm. all the AWP at Shiro eventually, right? It means that what used to happen is because there's only one AWP in each team, all the other players are rifle players. So all they used to do is bitch about the AWP all the time. It's too powerful, like should nerf it or whatever. And then CS2 came out and bro, I feel like it went the other way. Now the joke is when I'm an analyst or I'm a talk show and I'm talking about AWPers, I'll give you an example. People always criticize the fuck out of like, Shiro, to me, is like probably like the third best opera in the world.
Yeah.
And the craziest one is when they want wonderful cut from fucking Na'Vi every month, bro. And I always say, who are we recruiting? Like, if they're good off numbers, because the numbers are way lower than CSGO, I always say, bro, if you look at numbers, by the logic of numbers, like the HLTV rating, there's like five good AWPers in all of Tier 1. Like it's not like the old version where every team had a good AWPer and he could always get good. He usually had the best numbers in the team. In CS2, is the AWP worse? What, is there a problem with it? What do you think?
It's kind of actually what you speak about, like, every topic on national TV after Na'Vi lose it, we have to,
yes.
It's wonderful, in some of this case. It's not true because, like, people just, they don't understand in CS as much as, like, professional teams, and they used to keep that knowledge from CSGO, you know? They just remember
yes.
How open in CSGO that was. It was really crazy, and people yeah, managed. You must have a good statistics
yes.
in CSGO because like it's like unless you have a large, unless you're a bot, you know, like at least 1.1. And CS2, yeah, maybe people need some time to change their mind, you know, because only now people speaks about that. And if you have 1.1 What actually I saw on Twitter some statistics that from top 20 teams and only 5 OPers or something have statistic
yes.
more than 1.1.
It's amazing, isn't it?
If you just look at Molodoy, he actually had a great games, but saw his statistics. It's not crazy. Like, it's not even like...
No.
It's edge on 1.2, but in CSGO, it's nothing. Like,
yes.
1.2 is like, you're talented, but it's not like you're not the best, you know. But in CS2, yeah, especially look at Torzi, for example. Yeah, sometimes you have a good tournament, sometimes you have a worse tournament.
Yes.
It's okay. Now this game is random, and people used to like understand that. And OPing right now, it's not the best you can choose right now, especially if you are a new player, you know, because you don't have a good ADR, because you have one shot, just people running with a crazy speed, all have a good aim, you know, it's maybe game is random, especially on online, someone had a jittering or something like a problem with the internet or all this stuff, and yeah, you have a one shot and it became like harder, you know, and people don't understand that. Yeah, you have a one shot kill gun, but it's not about it, you know, because maybe now you have to play more aggression, because just like a peak advantage is crazy, you know, right now.
Yes.
It's crazy. It's like,
whereas old opposite, you hold the off angle like Jim. Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
It's actually abnormal, I would say, because like, especially if the player who peeking you know where you are exactly, you know? It's hard, especially just I don't know, you play on arena against Vitality and Robs now just knows where you stood.
Right.
It's crazy, you know. You understand. If Robs peek you, you're just dead, you know. It's or Donk or any player who data skillful. Yeah, in this case it's really hard, especially Mouse. We look at this major Torzi, 0.8 or 7 rating. Yeah, he had a bad game, but it doesn't mean he's a bad player, you know. It's just a tournament, just one game, best of three, he played bad, but it's... It's a reality of hoping in CS2, it's good. And that's why I just trying to focus on another things, that we need to really good mood, really good relationship, you have to... Even you don't have a good statistic, you need to throw grenades or do some, like... helpful stuff, you know, inside the team.
Sure.
It's really powerful, helpful, because especially you look at the JM. He's like a captain and oping and do every stuff.
Yeah.
It's really crazy, because Pashanov, my friend, he talked me a lot about JM, because he and JM is several like friends, and he talked me a lot about JM, and he's a crazy guy, actually. He lives in CS.
Yeah.
He's crazy. And I don't know how he managed to do that, all the stuff. It's really hard. Especially when you have only one goal to just play well, you're opening and you just join the team and say, you need to perform well, do whatever you want, just play. It's really hard to manage when only with one goal, you know. But you need to cap and do all the stuff. It's really hard. And... and now I feel that you just need to understand and for yourself. Just if you not manage to close this game by yourself, like carry it, hard carrying games, you know. But I don't see like a people who could do it consistently right now. Even Zai, you know, one map 1.4 ratings, another map 0.9. You know?
Yes,
it's hard. And even for Zai, if he talks about like a common normal guy who just not very talented, it's will be overthinking that you managed to pull every game over and just like opening is kind of hard today. Yeah.
At the end of this interview, I'm pretty sure some people, if they were fans of you back in the day, or maybe they're Russian fans, or they were fans of Forza, they might wonder, is Zorti done? Am I going to see him again? So at the end of the interview, do you have a message for people? And is there anyone you'd like to say hello or thank you to?
Yeah. Actually, I don't think that I have much fans, you know, but I don't have, maybe I'm not a popular guy in Europe, but actually, I'm not done. I really rethink what I had in Bad Boom, and now I really understand for me what I have to do and how I want to spend this time with my career. And if someone will be picked up in any team who actually believe in me, I promise I will be a good guy and will be a good opper for sure. Because like I didn't feel any time better than right now, actually. So I feel really good right now. I really like exciting to play. And I don't know. I do all my quality stuff for my life, like a gym, right. Like health, sleep, all this stuff. I know it's important. I'm really care about it. And age or something like that for me is not a barrier. You know, right. I understand what I have to do is only on your head. And for me, it's not over. I'm pretty sure if someone really supports me, thank you. I actually notice every word when people speak to me and some message or something like that. Yeah, it's really a pleasure to hear because, like, for pro players, it's really important to hear because in most cases, you just hear just you're a shit player, you know, but you're not a god. That's simple as that. It's life, you know.
True.
People just always complaining. People just compared you to another people. It's all this like hard stuff. And I just want to speak to each other who will listen to it. If Wonderful play bad or something like that, just don't go shit to him. Like, you know, just speak to him some good word and be a nice, you know, be a kind guys and not point to like to speak through, you know, to another people. That's my point.
Спасибо большое.
Не за что.
If you've heard that I'm a bad man, it's only in the Jamaican sense. Well, you know what? Here's my posse that's keeping me held down. And that's, of course, my Patreon community, the Skrilluminati. So this video and the others on my channel are brought to you in association with Matt Pugnaccio Rakula, Ben Glass, Toucan, Nikki, Jason, Jensen Gore. A special thanks goes out always to my main man, Jerky's Minion, and American Yawnay. Do you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content? Would you like to take part in one of those lengthy donated discussions with me where you set the topics? Do you want teasers, find out who the upcoming interview subjects are? Maybe you want to ask me a question in my video AMA? Well, if any of the above perks tickle your fancy, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today, where at the Patreon link in the description box below. Booyah!